open up our hearts
that we might receive all that you have for us, Lord. So we need your help in these days, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I just caught this little phrase here, possess your possessions. And it comes out of Obadiah there, 1:17. But if you notice there, it says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. And right there in that same section, it talks about Esau, where Esau gets nothing. And if you remember Rocky talking just about the type of Esau as a type of the flesh, and when Sanford was talking about this dust cloud, everything we do in the flesh is just produces dust, a big dust cloud. And it's all about taking hold of your identity, of who you are in Christ. You need to be, we all need to be focused in on our identity. Just because a child gets adopted, how many of you have ever adopted a child? Or you know of someone who's been adopted, but I knew of several people who have adopted children, and those children have a hard time bonding. They get so far, but they really can't grab on to everything. Remember Adam when we were down in one of those meetings, and the guy from New Zealand, what was his name? You saw him in Israel? James Jordan. James Jordan. He said the church needs to get beyond adoption into sonship. We don't stop at adoption. We actually become sons. And you need to know that you become a son and a daughter, not just adopted. You get changed. You get transformed. You get something new. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You know, I think I have another microphone I can use that I have on here. Get freed up. Get freed up. I don't like it. How are we doing? Everybody awake? You are now. We've been given the right. We've been given the power. The word is for right there is dunamis, power. Power to become children of God. We've been given the right to become children. Even those who believe in His name. Once you receive Jesus, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdoms of this world, and you have been translated into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Okay? The gospel of the kingdom is about coming from one kingdom to another kingdom. It's not just a better lifestyle. It isn't about getting a better look, you know, that we look better. It's that we are better. You are better because you have been brought in to a new life. A new life has been brought into you. Jay Bunker was up here some time ago and he made this statement and it really stuck with me. You are not an earthly being having a heavenly experience. You're not an earthly being having a heavenly experience. You're a heavenly being having an earthly experience. Huh? Can you get that? Because that's what it's all about. You're a heavenly being. You have been changed. You're a new creature in Christ. You're no longer an earthly being. You're a heavenly being having an earthly experience. I think for too long the church has been hanging on to their earthly being, trying to have a heavenly experience. Okay? We're here as sojourners. We're here as aliens and strangers. We're not, this is not our home. You have dual citizenship. You know, if you're, who was it that was just talking about someone who was born in America? So they have an American citizenship because they were born here. But they were from another country. And the guy was going off and talking about all this stuff. And the guy said, you know, I think he was from Europe someplace. But he found out he had American citizenship. He said, man, what you got to say, you should come and run for president in America. He could do that because he's got an American citizenship. But a dual citizenship. Well, in one way, we have dual citizenship. If you were born, not even just America, but if you were born on this earth, you have citizenship someplace. But if you're an American, you have an American citizenship because you were born in the flesh. You have that citizenship. But then you were born again. And you received a citizenship in heaven. You have a dual citizenship, but which one is more important? Which citizenship do you hold on to? Which is the one that you are going to hang on to? Which one will you let go? Don't be like Esau that let his birthright go. Don't let the wrong one go. You have a citizenship in heaven. And that's a good thing to know. By the way, your citizenship pretty much ends when you die. They put you in the grave. Your citizenship is over. But the citizenship you have in heaven has no end. Because why? You never die! You never die. As a new creature in Christ, you live forever. Your citizenship is forever. And it's good to go. Forever. That citizenship is very important to hang on to. Hang on to that with your dear life. Don't ever give up on the citizenship that was given to you when you were born again. So after we're born again, we are to change our mind about where we are from. Once you're born again, you need to have your mind changed where you're from. Where are you from? And we need to start having a response that's a heavenly response out of our heavenly being, of who we really are. We, as a church, these days, and we heard it this morning, these days are going to get perilous. They already are perilous, but they're probably going to get much, much worse. Okay? We got to hang on to something better than our earthly being. We got to hang on to something better than that. We got to have something to hang on to that isn't changing, that's going to be the same. So we might be an American, but that's not our home. That's where we're sojourning. We're just kind of passing through. We're passing through this whole earth. We're passing through this world. Our home is a spiritual home. It's not an earthly home. You say, well, I'm sitting here, it kind of seems like this is where I belong. I'm telling you, now listen, the only way that you can receive God's gifts And the only way you're going to be able to possess the possessions that are yours are by faith, not by sight. If you're only going to live by what you see, you're going to miss it. If you live your life just by what's going on, what you see, you're going to miss it. For we as Christians do not live by sight, we live by faith. We live by faith, and we believe by faith that these things are true, and we accept that, and we confess it, and we say that. So our minds must take hold of the fact that we are now from heaven with a temporary residence in earth. Temporary. A tent, this body we got. I was just reading in the news this morning. 28-year-old girl. Just married, having her baby. Everything's going fine. She wakes up feeling kind of bad one morning. She goes into the hospital. And they say, well, I think you got pneumonia. So they give her something for pneumonia. Well, she had, is it septic? The baby dies. All four of her limbs are cut off before they're done with the septic. She goes in. She's just a healthy, nice person. Goes into the hospital, gets this weird disease that they have to start cutting off her limbs just to save her. And now she's just been fitted with these new bionic limbs that they made for people coming out of the war in Iraq. And she's learning how to deal with that. But in the picture, she was holding on to... Maybe she had a baby before, right? But anyway, she was holding on to this child. Praise God that this is just a temporary tent. What can man do to me? What can disease do to me? What can happen? It can be good one day, the next day you can have something serious going on. We need to have a hope that goes beyond the things that grab us today. Got to be something more. Okay. Colossians 1, we're going to spend a little time in Colossians here. But therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, I guess there's an if there. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Have you ever heard someone say, well, you've got a funny mindset? Well, I tell you, the church has got to get a right mindset. We have to have a good mindset. And it's a mind that's set on heavenly things, not on earthly things. That's Colossians 3:1. Someone straightened out my 3 and made it look like a 1, but... This is one of the signs that my wife is missing. She usually reads through all my notes and... Actually, I'm doing better than I have the other times, though. I'm not too bad off, really. I got till Tuesday. We'll see if we make it. So all of us need to ask ourselves, what's your mindset? What is your real mindset? Get real with yourself. Don't just say it. But what? Get real with yourself. What is your real mindset? Are you a heavenly being? Do you really believe that? Or is that just scripture that we read? I need to get on with my life. Well, it doesn't sound like that's what the Lord has been saying this morning. How's that song go? Many, many verses of surrendering all. Do we first think of us as an earthly being, or do we think of ourselves first as a heavenly being? Are you first a heavenly being living on earth? Or are you an earthly being trying to get to heaven? Do you know that you're supposed to be living in heaven now? This isn't a future thing. It's a now thing. It's a now word. We're in heaven now. We're spiritual beings now. Seated with Him in heavenly places now. And you say, well, I'm sitting here in the chair. Where's your faith? Where is our faith? Are we a people of faith or are we a people of sight? When you read the Scripture, you must read the Scripture with faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. In fact, it says whatever isn't of faith is sin. So that kind of just sums it up. Okay. Here's Jesus' prayer for us. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Well, that's a good prayer, first of all. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. I mean, He prayed it here, and it's also part of the Lord's Prayer. Keep me from evil. But then He makes this profound statement. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, that's a pretty profound statement, if you really grab that for you. Is He talking about you, or is He talking about His disciples? No, He's talking about you. He's talking about the believers. You are not of the world. Here's the hard part. Here's the part that I don't see happening in the church. It doesn't become a reality until you are able to confess it with your own lips. Who are you confessing to? Who are you telling that I'm no longer of this world? Who are you saying that I'm a new creature in Christ? I'm a spiritual being. I dwell in heaven and I'm having an earthly experience. It says you can believe it in your heart and you're justified, but you confess it with your lips and you really find salvation. We don't really want to confess stuff like this. You know why? Because it really sounds too weird. Because we really haven't believed it in my heart. And our first response always pretty much comes back to the default of who I am in the flesh. That's who I am. That's kind of my default response. We have to change, church. We're going to have to get a different mindset. We must come to the reality that we're a spiritual being having an earthly experience. That our home is in heaven, and we're going to be proud of that, confessing that, and saying, that's who I am. That's who I am. I'm no longer a citizen just of America. I have a greater citizenship in heaven today. One of my favorite verses. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I like that scripture because it really is it's a funeral service right there, right? Old things have... Oh, did you know my friend passed away? My old man passed away. It's passed away. It's done. All things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The resurrection life of Jesus Christ has come. Are you a new creature in Christ? And do you confess that? Or do people confess it for you? Do you come to church to have people confess that for you? I can tell you, you're a new creature in Christ. But do you tell one another that? In Revelations, dyslexic people like me have heard, is 11:12 or 12:11? They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You have a good testimony about who you are? But a testimony is usually something when they call you into court and they say, I want you to testify, and you get up there and don't say anything. That's not really a testimony. A testimony is actually saying something. Actually letting it come out of our lips. And we need to start testifying of the things that are true. First Corinthians 15. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so are also those who are earthy. But as is the heavenly, so are also those who are heavenly. So we have the first Adam became a life-giving soul. The last Adam. The last Adam. Why was he called the last Adam? Because it was all done. When he died at the cross, it was over. When he died, all died. He took Adam unto himself. The whole life of Adam. I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I was crucified with Christ. Were you crucified with Christ? Were you there? There was one guy, he was over in Israel and there was a cross there and he went by Golgotha and he went running up and he hugged us. He said, oh, is this the first time you've been here? Oh no, I was here long ago. I'm just giving thanks that I was here long ago. I was here when Christ died. I died with him. He was the last Adam. He was the last of that Adam, Adamic nature. He put an end to the Adamic nature at the cross. Done. Finished. All done. All over. He was the last Adam. Then it goes on to say the first man. Okay, now we're back to Adam again. The first man was from earth. But then we also talk about a second man. Jesus was the second man. Praise God. There was the first man, and there was the second man. He was the last Adam, but he was also the second man, of which we get to be a part of. We were a part of Adam, but now we get to be a part of Christ. Now he is the head of a spiritual creation. He became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam died at the cross, went in the tomb, came up out of the tomb a life-giving spirit. Hallelujah! That we have life and that we can now enter into him. No longer are we in Adam, we're in Christ. Everybody in Adam must die, but all in Christ have eternal life. You want to make sure you're in Christ. You want to make sure that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to make sure that that's settled in your heart and there isn't anything that's going to budge that one. Because in him, you have eternal life. So we were born an earthly being, but when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a spiritual being. I'm a little bit concerned with some of our evangelism today. A lot of the evangelists that are doing great big pushes, you know, even Billy Graham and some of the other ones, they don't deal with baptism. They don't want to deal with baptism because it's too controversial. When Paul and Silas were in jail and in stocks singing praises to God, and then the earthquake hit, it was more than an earthquake. There were angels there on doing the stocks and setting them free, and the doors all opened up, and the jailer says, well, this is it, I'm done. I might as well kill myself, they'll kill me when they get here. You know, and he said, no, we're all here, we're just, you have to understand, the Lord is at work here. I think I would have bolted. I'd have said, you know, this is God. God has set me free, I'm out of here. I'm gone. No, they just sat there. And the jailer said, what's going on here? And they led the jailer and his whole family to the Lord. And they baptized them that night. We've made baptism into some thing where you got to go through instruction or something before you get baptized. And we sometimes delay that. And we're guilty even right here of delaying baptism. I think that salvation and baptism go hand in hand because when I accept the Lord as my Savior, I need to also enter in and be baptized into His death. Into His death. You don't get to keep your life. Remember when we were at that YWAM presentation. I love that presentation. Give me that pen right there. Man. Here's you. Okay? Here's Jesus. Too often we say, why don't you receive Jesus into your life? And you add Jesus into your life. That's not the way it is. Accept Jesus into your life. And this one goes into the burial process and Jesus comes in. It's Him. We don't get to keep our own life. We don't get to have our old life. We don't get to mix it up and have a little of me and a little of Jesus added in. Remember Keith Miners when he was here? What did he call that? He called that a Hindu Christianity. Just adding Jesus to all the rest of your stuff. You know, he's just one more. No, you don't. He's it. He's everything. Jesus is all there is. He is your life. The old is gone. But that comes in baptism. We're buried with Him in baptism. All right. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We must accept the fact that I no longer live. That is the earthly being which I was when I was born. I've been born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I've been transferred from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of Jesus. It's going to be crucial that you have this understanding and a firm faith on where you dwell. Where is your home? Where is your home today? Not when you die. Where is it today? Where is your dwelling place today? We have to have it. We have to get our mindset turned. It's not about a better lifestyle. It's about a better life. It's not about modifying my behavior. It's about the transformation of my mind. I challenge you. Start confessing with your lips. Start saying it. Even if you don't say it to somebody, go out in the woods and scream it out loud there. But say it out loud someplace. If you're too embarrassed to say it to your friends, start just saying it to the mirror. I don't care, but say it. You know if somebody said to me, "Can you help me on Monday?" I don't know. So Monday comes, I'm pretty free to do whatever I want to do. I haven't said anything. But if someone says to me, "Will you help me on Monday?" Yeah, I'll be there. Whoa. Came out of my lips. Once you said, "I'll be there," you're probably going to show up. And if you don't, you're probably, going to stand condemned or guilty. Say it. Because once you say it, things change. Once you say it, things change. See, I got Colossians 3 up there. I only missed it on one slide. I'm going to read this. Colossians 3. I think it's worth just listen now. Is it New Testament, Adam? Okay. Here we go. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are of earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is upon these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. Well, that's our life in Adam, okay? The life in Adam, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. You know what malice is, right? That's one that some people get. Malice is when you put the worst possible twist on someone else's behavior. You're always making them look bad. Malice. Do not lie to one another, since you laid the old self, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices through baptism, in other words, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. And so also, you have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Forgiving each other when? Whoever has a complaint against anybody. You got any complaints against anybody? Any complaints going on? Forgive them. I mean, it didn't give you any wiggle room here. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so should you also. And beyond all those things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into the body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him, to God the Father. How are we to live in this world? By the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit in you. Just let Him have His way and He will bring these things out. The Spirit of God in you will do all these things. The Spirit of God in you is a forgiving Spirit. The Spirit of God in you has full of compassion. The Spirit of God in you is tender and kind. The Spirit of God in you is all those things. Put on the new self. And by faith, if by faith you start confessing that, you'll see that thing manifesting in your life. But if you continue to confess who you are in the flesh, that's what will be manifested. Confess who you are in the Lord, who you have become. We're the light of the world. We have the good news of the kingdom. Whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord. Why can he say that? Because it's the Lord in you. Who are you? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The things I do should be reflecting Him in His name. It should no longer be in my name. I don't even live anymore. How can I do something in my name? I need to do it in the name of the Lord, with Him behind all of that. But I press on. I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I'm asking today, are you going to lay hold of that? Are you going to lay hold of what Christ laid hold of for you through the cross? He made it possible for you to be born again and to become a new creature in Christ. He said you can enter into heaven today. Are you going to lay hold of it? And here he is. I press on so that I'm... You know what? We don't understand it all. But what we do understand, let's lay hold of that much at least. And even from today, I don't regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forget what happened yesterday. Forget how you believed about yourself yesterday. Just forget it. And start today. Reaching forward to what lies ahead. Start believing today. You don't have to condemn yourself for how you believed yesterday. Yesterday's gone. It's over. Don't get all torqued up about what you haven't done right. Just start doing right. Start believing more on Lord, because in these days, we're going to need everything. The stops are going to get pulled out. Don Fultonauer once said, "What's your confession when the guys are going to throw you into the pizza oven?" Huh? What are you going to tell them? They're ready to throw you in. Don Fultonauer says, "Just tell them this: my daddy has a bigger pizza oven than your daddy." You should see his pizza oven. And if you keep doing this kind of stuff, that's where you're going to be. It's an eternal pizza oven. So anyway, possess your possessions. Take a hold of that. Don't be like Esau, hanging on to the old and throwing away the birthright. Don't throw away what's been given to you. Hang on to that with dear life. Hang on to who you are in Christ. Hang on to it. And confess it, profess it, tell other people about it. There's power in the gospel. Paul even said, "I have become a fool." And some of this stuff, and it sounds foolish. It may sound foolish, but I'm telling you, it's the hope of the gospel. It's all we got. It's all we got. Is what happened at the cross. That's what we got, given to us. If you got a great gift and you never appreciated it, we got this great salvation from the Lord. Let's appreciate it by at least believing and identifying with who we are in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature in Christ. You no longer live. Your old self has been crucified with Christ. Put on the new self and enjoy what God has given you. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Lord, I just thank you. And Lord, I pray that these words could minister to us, that we might be encouraged of who we are. And Lord, I pray that our faith would not fail us in these days. I pray, Lord, that our faith would increase and that we could believe even more. Lord, give us more faith, that as we read the Scripture, we would start believing a greater depth of what you have done for us at the cross. I praise you, Father. I thank you, Father. Sanctify us all, Lord, in your truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.